Thank you. Thank you so much. We are definitely in the midst of summer, and I want to thank everyone who is here this morning for your presence here today. The time that you've invested here, we're very grateful for it, and know that your presence here is a blessing to all of us. Will you join me now in a word of prayer? Spirit of details, differences, and distractions, help us to pay attention, to be alert, to encounter your presence even in the things that annoy us, that bother us, the things that we catch out of the corner of our eye. Help us to look, to listen, to receive, to turn on all of our senses, and to be more receptive, to be in touch with you. And grant us an awareness of your presence near us, moving in us, around us, and through us. In your many holy names we pray. Amen. There are a lot of animals in the Bible, and I think that says something important, something that we should be listening to. Animals teach us respect for life and provide us with a special enjoyment and appreciation of the diversity of all creation. If only we pay attention to them. If only we stop and see them. If only we listen to the feelings that we experience when we invite them into our lives, whether in story, thought, or deed. Animals add life to our life. But even more than that, they can teach us a lot about life and the Creator and about ourselves. If our summer sermon series does nothing else, I want it to let us all know in no uncertain terms that the Bible is bigger and weirder and stranger than we ever imagined. Now, we began 2 weeks ago with a talking donkey. Go figure. And from that, we learned, among other things, to listen to the voice of God from unexpected people and places. Last week, from the ostrich, a very complicated and beautiful bird who can't fly. We learned to find God in odd, the strange, the quirky, and the peculiar in the queer places. And today, it is sheep. It's Sheep Sunday. We're probably the only church that has that. Now, sheep are the most mentioned animal in the Bible. I think something like over 500 times, right up there with the donkey. But unlike the donkey, I could not locate any place where they have a solitary starring role. They are indeed community animals. When mentioned in the Bible, it's pretty much always in the plural sense. Unless the sheep has been called out for sacrifice, lost, or mentioned in a parable, or all of the above, none of which called to me. The appearance of sheep in the Bible is pretty much means a flock. In fact, the word sheep is the same, whether referring to a single sheep or 100 sheep. It's called a zero plural word, like deer, like moose, elk, and fish. Same word for singular and plural, and it's up to the context to tell you whether the reference is to one or to many. Now, their Bible popularity is due in part because they were so very important to the everyday lives of people in that place and that time. Sheep keeping or sheep herding or shepherding was really the first occupation. Genesis 4:2, we're told that Adam's son Abel was a keeper of sheep. Moses was out keeping sheep when he received his calling. David was out keeping sheep when he received his calling and anointing as king. Joseph's brothers were out keeping sheep when Joseph was sent to them. Joseph, of the coat of many colors, whose brothers promptly put him in a hole, considered killing him, and eventually sold him into slavery, which all began his epic journey. In the gospel, according to Luke, sheep were the very first animals to hear the revelation of the incarnation. The angelic messengers arrived from on high to those down low. the shepherds and their sheep, to bring good tidings of great joy to all people. Sheep are generally gentle, sensitive, complex animals who get a really bad rap with regard to intelligence. Now, this is mainly due to their skittish nature and the way that they seem to follow one another, sometimes blindly and seemingly without reason. But those observable traits may have more to do with the animal's alertness, social structure, and communal nature than any measure of intelligence. In fact, when they're by themselves, they behave in highly intelligent ways. But in a flock, group mentality happens. And they suddenly appear far less intelligent. One shepherd compares them to teenagers, saying when they're by themselves, they're wonderful, but when you get a bunch of them together, they can do some right silly and stupid things. In fact, in a flock, when agitated or unsettled and without a clear leader or a shepherd or a sheepdog to direct them, they will actually form what is called a sheep cyclone. The entire flock running in circles around and around, each following the other in front until something stops them. But you know, people do some really unintelligent things too. Simply following each other on the internet. Memes. Tide says, do not eat our detergent pods. And what do people do? Challenge each other to eat detergent pods while being filmed. Why? Or jumping out of a moving vehicle in order to be filmed dancing to a song as soon as they hit the ground. Yes, stepping out of a moving vehicle. And that goes about as well as you would expect it to go. And we call sheep unintelligent? Sheep are beautiful and they are difficult animals. If a shepherd works with them well, then it appears very easy. If a shepherd works with them not very well, well, then the sheep will wear out the shepherd long before the day is done. They're so challenging to work with, in fact, that we have even enlisted the help of other animals to help us manage them. Sheepdogs are definitely a shepherd's best friend. Some scientists are now studying what every shepherd has always known since the beginning of sheep keeping, that about 8% of the male population is, well, gay. Mating only with other males. And another 8% of the population appears to be asexual, just not interested in sex at all. And there's actually something called lesbian sheep syndrome. Has anyone ever heard of that? See me after church. Anyway, all things considered, you may now be able to see why sheep are most often a metaphorical stand-in for us, people. And you may also be able to see how some of the great biblical leaders of large groups of people, such as Moses and King David, first began their work and learned their group management skills with sheep. But of course, I'm not entirely convinced that the symbolic and metaphorical comparison to people does any good service to sheep. Because it's entirely possible that if given a choice, Moses and King David might have actually preferred the sheep. You see, sheep are communal animals. Sheep love company. Many of us, well, we have to get used to it. Get used to living and working in community with one another. We have to learn to get along with one another, even when we don't agree with one another. Because people don't move together in unison nearly as easy as sheep do. In memory, sheep can actually remember over 50 faces for at least 2 years. And those are sheep faces. They can readily recognize each other. I'm not sure we people could do even half as good with each other. Sheep also readily recognize bully sheep. And they get stressed and distressed when those sheep come around. They seek to avoid them. They do not seek to follow them. Sheep recognize people too, and they definitely recognize their caretaker, their shepherd, by voice and by face. And if they're a good shepherd, then they come to trust them. And they come to readily follow them. They pay attention to them, and they listen to them. Sheep can recognize emotions, not only in other sheep, but in people. And they prefer smiling, happy people. No surprises there, don't we all? But the difference is, sheep don't really get angry on their own the way that people do. And when a person gets angry and frustrated at the sheep don't get angry back in return. What they do is they get stressed, the way many of us humans do around angry people. Sheep recognize those sheep who cause problems among themselves, and they recognize people who cause problems with them as well. You know, I have to say, I think I've learned more about sheep just talking sheep with Sandy this week. Much more than I have in a lot of other places, and she thinks MCC Nova should get one, by the way. But you know, Sandy, you can't just get one. Now, the comparison between a church congregation and sheep, well, sheep will move together. They may have a momentary moment of scattering, but when they come together, I remember as a child watching flocks in the distance scatter for a moment, then coming together, moving as one across a hillside, like a big fluffy sheep cloud. Churches and communities of people, well, we don't often move together so easily. More's the pity. We have our edges and our wounds and our hurt places. And we are just as likely to try to set ourselves apart from others as to set ourselves with or alongside others. We are not sheep. But I don't think we were ever meant to be. Like many things about the teachings of the Bible, I think we missed the point in the places where we have been compared to sheep. And yet, even so, we are sheep, I think, in that we can recognize the face and the voice of the Good Shepherd, of the Christ in each other when we are really paying close attention to things. We can recognize that in the eyes and face of each other. The passage of Scripture that we heard today, once again, is outside of the lectionary. No surprises there. This is not a passage that you would typically hear read in church. So Jacob comes to a well in the North Arabian desert. He lets those gathered there know that he knows some people. It's like establishing his cred. It's like having mutual friends on Facebook. Hey, you know Laban? So do I. I'm okay. Friend me. But next he tells them, why are you waiting here? Why not water and go? And then they explain to him about the stone, that it required several shepherds to move it, to open the well and then close it. Why? We can assume that it was to ensure that no one of them would get all of the water for themselves. They had to move, and to move the stone as a group, and to move it together as a team. It was a means of water regulation, forced water sharing by a big heavy stone. Now, to be honest, there were so many passages to choose from that featured sheep. There were big stories. There were familiar stories. There were meaty stories that I practically locked up. I could not settle on any one of them. I was highly unsettled. But then I read this passage, and something hit me. Something jumped out at me like a burning bush. All the times I had read this in the past, I had never noticed this. But this time, I had to stop, turn, look. Turn my senses on and listen. There was a line there that captivated me. Does anyone know what it might be? I think that might be cheating if you know. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
There's a reference to murder there.
Okay, there is. There is a reference to murder there. Moses was a murderer. He murdered someone in Egypt. He was running away from that. God calls individuals who have challenges. So Moses was a murderer. Did you have a thought?
Yeah, the fact that Rachel is a shepherd.
Bingo! You get a cookie. Yes, for she was a shepherd. Wow, that really struck me. When we think of shepherd, we almost always imagine a bearded man. Realistically, maybe a little scruffy and smelling like sheep. We don't often think of the women shepherds of the Bible. There are less than a handful of them. Less than a handful of them that I've been able to find, and some of them are not even named. But this is Rachel, for goodness sakes, one of the Bible biggies, and she was a shepherd. I like that. Like the sheep in the picture on the insert, I just wanted to stop and take a good look at that. A good listen to it and let it sink in. After all, this journey is about looking at things that we often miss. Things that we overlook, the details, differences, and distractions, the things that we don't even know exist in the Bible. And like Moses, David, and many others, thus began Rachel's journey, driving sheep into our story and into the life of Jacob, her first cousin, to whom she eventually became co-wife to, along with her sister Leah. And eventually, mother to Joseph, Joseph of the coat of many colors that we mentioned earlier. But that's another story for another time. Life is what happens to us while we're busy keeping sheep. Sometimes the things that we think are the distractions in our lives turn out to be the main thing. And sometimes we think the sheep in our lives are the purpose to our lives. But mostly, perhaps almost always, they are what help us to find our purpose. And they are the vehicles that lead us to our purpose. Are we sheep? If we are sheep, then all of us have to be sheep. And then all of us need to be shepherds. So may it be. So let's take a moment this morning for